Oh, good morning, everyone. The opening reading is Psalm 115, verse 9 through 18. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth have ye given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down to silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth, and forevermore praise the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. And as always, what a joy it is to be in God's house. This is His house, called by His name, and His word is glorified here. That's what I hope to do today. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. And the title of the message I'd like to share with you today is Trust and Obey. And to me, trust is your belief. Do you believe in God and that you will trust Him? Obedience is, do you care to please Him? Because if you have faith and trust, and you want to please Him, you will obey Him. It's that simple. It really is that simple. But we need to know what He likes, what He doesn't like. We need to know that when we gave our life to Him, when that old man died and you were renewed and became a new creature, that you trust Him and He will guide and direct you no matter where we go. And we're going to see some examples today. I got some stories and some things that are very familiar. Just want to show you how they persevered and they trusted Him. And I think you will find out obeying Him, it makes Him happy. It shows us that we care. So if we will turn Proverbs chapter 15, I just want to read verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You can't hide from God. That secret sin that you have in your life, He knows it. That thing you do in private when nobody's watching, He sees it. The things you do in public, He sees it. The things you do with your family members and day in and day out at work, He sees it. And He knows whether it's good or evil. But our God is a loving God. He is a forgiving God. And there are many, many things I used to believe, I used to do, because I didn't know. I didn't know, and He knew that I didn't know. But He loved me enough to give me, He waited. He waited on me. And then now that I have learned, I have grown so much in the last 32 years since I became a covenant believer. And that is what I want to show today, is that we need to trust Him. We need to obey our God, because we've all been through trials. If you haven't, you will, because He has to know. He really, really has to know. And we obey Him because we love Him and we care. It makes us feel good to please our parents. It makes us feel good to do things for our family and friends. And they thank us for it. And that's the way our Heavenly Father is towards us. But He's always watching over us. And He's always there for us no matter what we go, for the highs and the lows and in-betweens. We just have to trust Him and obey. To give you an example of that, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. We're going to be going backwards and forwards today a little bit. Very familiar stories. And I hope this will be an uplifting message. Jeremiah chapter 7, I want to read verse 21, beginning in verse 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings into your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing command I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. It sounds pretty good so far, doesn't it? Of course, we know he's talking about he led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. A lot of things happened, and now he's asking them, you're my people. I'm your God. You need to obey me because I know what's best for you. If you do that, that tells me how much you love me. That tells me whether you care or not. Unfortunately, let's read what happens. Verse 24. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walketh in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even seen unto you all my servants and prophets daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But they shall say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction or instruction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Welcome to America. That's where we're at. This is the United States of America. It happened in Jeremiah's time. It happened in the Old Testament. And it's happening today. We live in a very ungodly, godless nation. We got ungodly leaders. We have ungodly pastors. We have ungodly congregations who don't love truth. And for that notion, God will send them a lie, and that they will believe. We're in the itching ears cycle of America. Church is a high school pep session. Noise, rock and roll music, strobe lights, entertainment, hugs and kisses all around. And everybody goes away feeling good because they're feel-good churches. They care about your feelings. It happened. We just read about it. They didn't hear instruction. God sent them prophets, pastors, or prophets, priests. They didn't listen. Well, we want to be like everybody else. We want the world to love us. We want our kids to be popular. I want to be popular. I've got friends at work. I got classmates, this and this and this. They don't believe like we do. I don't want to feel funny. And they were not hearkened to their God. And this is where we are. This is where we are today. The same thing, it's repeating, just as it happened back then. If you will, turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. But now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, and when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and the suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and the donkey. And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them, and to Telamon, 100,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And they came and they were told what to do. Now we need to show, did they do what they were told to do? Drop down to verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, and they destroyed utterly. They did what they wanted to do. They did not hearken. They did not trust that God told them, this is what I want you to do. Sometimes God tells us to do something and he doesn't tell us why. Just do it. Why? Like when Laura and David were little. Who am I? Dad? Why? I want you to do this. Why? Because we know what's best for you, me and your mom, Susan. We're trying to help you. We're trying to guide you. We want to see if you'll be obedient to us. Because if you love us and trust us, you will. And sometimes that's why God does this. He told them through Saul, or through Samuel, told Saul, here's what the Lord told me to tell you to do, and they didn't do it. Let's drop down to go down to verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, and didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way of the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which they have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fatted rams. Why? Because he wants us to obey him. He doesn't want us to think about whether we think he's right. You're going to question him? That's, okay, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, or divination, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That's rebellion. If you think you know that, well, you know, I don't think God knows what he's doing. I don't think he didn't think it through properly. Now, I know he told us to look at all these beautiful things. Look at all these beautiful possessions. I don't think you told us the right thing. That's rebellion. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed and commanded the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Modern day pastors who have a congregation with itching ears. Well, I know what he told me to do. I know what you asked me to do, but I did what they wanted to do. So he had a choice to make. Keep reading. Verse 25. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, and I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about and go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, his clothes, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. God loves obedience more than sacrifice. Let me say it this way. I know people, and I'm not being judgmental in any way. My own grandmother, on my dad's side, my dad's mom, my grandmother Llewellyn, never went to church, never read her Bible, but once a year, she wrote a check to St. Paul's Lutheran Church. And in her mind, that was her ticket to heaven. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be judgmental in any way. You can't buy your way. That's a sacrifice. Okay, yeah, she helped out. But did she obey? Did she trust God? Do we do that today? What did Saul do? I listened to the people. If you fear people more than God, you won't serve him. You won't obey him. You won't trust him. We do it all the time. Maybe I'm still guilty of that from time to time. But Samuel told him what to do. He didn't do it. And God said, I'm taking the kingdom away from you. It's that simple. It's that simplistic. Because it's better to obey than the sacrifice. Turn with me now, I'll show you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Familiar reading. Show you, and start in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorners, and fools hate knowledge? That's a question. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words to you. That's what he did with Saul. I told you what I wanted to do. The prophet Samuel, I spoke to him, and he told you what my words were. Because I, 24, but because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught at my, all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish compel abound you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Why? They that seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear or respect or obedience of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear and evil. That's the way he is. Have you ever called upon the Lord and he said, nope, not today. Brian, nope. Do sometimes prayers go unanswered? Yes. Why? Because of that thing you're doing in secret. I know all your ways. I know your thoughts. I know your heart. I know what's going through your mind. Yeah, we see outward. God sees inward. Do you trust and obey him? I love obedience. It means everything to me. It tells me whether you love me or not. My kids, when they obey their mom and dad, that tells us how much they love us. As I did my parents the best I could. Sure, went through the rebellion. That's what Saul was. He was in rebellion. I had some rebellion. We all did growing up as we grew and became young adults. A little bit too dumb to be full grown in some of our silly ways, because we had stronger influences with our friends and classmates than we did our parents. And as I've always said, you know, it says, honor your father and mother that thou mayest live long on your Lord. Like I said, Lord and David, they honor us by the way they act when they're not in our house, when they're around their friends, when they're at work, when they're at school, when they're at the job site. That's how you honor us, by the way you act when you're not around us. That's what makes us feel good. And when you go about and live the rest of your life, you honor us by the life you live. And that's the way we are, because right now we're in God's house. And we're here, but we honor him Monday through Saturday by the way we live and the way we act, because he always watches over us. Turn with us to show you something that's very difficult. Turn to Luke chapter 12. And this is the word of God. Most of us have experienced this. If you haven't, you will. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 49. Jesus is speaking, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I to straighten till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Really? The Son of God isn't going to, he's not hugs and kisses and I love everybody and I want everybody to love one another? No, that's not what he's saying. 52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He says, I bring division. And what do we know according to Ephesians, the armor of God? The sword is the word. You have the helmet of the truth, the loins of truth, the loins of truth and all the armor of God. And the last thing he mentions is the word, which is a sword. And a sword cuts both ways. And Jesus says, I'm coming to divide. I'm busting up families. Not me, but my word will do this. Three against two, two against, I see what you're saying. That's interesting. But man, if I show that to my wife, she'd get mad at me. Or if I show that to my husband, he'll get angry. I can't take Christmas away from my, you know what my wife would do to me if I tried to show her some of the things you taught me? Well, she might leave me. Good! You want God to leave you or you want your wife to leave you? You want God to leave you or you want your husband to leave you or your children? I have seen children leave covenant teaching to go to the world's churches and serve Baal and multi-race. And I've seen the parents follow the kids. You've seen it. Why? Well, there's not a lot of young kids here. We want our kids to be popular. I'm teaching Lauren David, you're not going to be popular. I'm teaching them the exact opposite of what the world is teaching our children with all this diversity nonsense. No. That's where we get the division. That's where we get the word diversity. No. The Savior of the world, I bring in division. I'm going to bust up families. Now, that's pretty strong. But is it true? It has to be. Do you obey? Better to obey God than men. To give you an example, let's go back to the book of Ezra. We're going to read something, and I want you to visualize this, and then I'm going to make a comment. Go to Ezra chapter 4, and I'm going to read something that happened, and you're, okay, Ezra chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. So here are the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin. When they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, these are their adversaries, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus and the king of Persia hath commanded us. Let's take this to today. Somebody here wins a lottery, $800 million. And they say, Pastor Don, let's build our church like we had before we came here. Let's build a new church, parking lot, new facilities. And here comes some organization that's not what we are. And they said, well, we want to help you build your church. The NAACP, well, we want to help you build. Or any other organizations that are not of the God of Israel or the people of Israel. What would happen? We know Pastor Don would say, we're going to build our own. But let's see, look what happened back in Ezra. Verse 4, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. In other words, well, you guys start to build and then at nighttime they'd come over and they'd bust up, they'd knock all the walls down. Or you'd pour a slab, concrete thing. Oh, hey, you got to move that 2 feet back. You're too close to it. They would do everything they could to try and delay you from building our new church. Because some group who shouldn't be here, these people said, hey, we want to help you guys build a church. Look, and my goodness, look, can you imagine if that happened today? No, we can't. We're not going to let you help us. Well, we want to serve your God. You can't. We'll build our church to our God. Well, we want to. You can't. What if that happened today? Fellowship of God's Covenant People. We're going to go buy some land. We're going to build a new church building. Kitchen. We're going to, you know. And some groups want to help out. I went, no, I'm sorry. Boy, well, that'll make the news. How many protesters would show up on if you had a grand opening? And the people tried to stop them. They harassed them. Well, that lumber you ordered, it'll be here next Thursday. Well, it'll be here 2 weeks from now. All kind of inspectors. Well, your wiring's all wrong. You got to tear it out and do it. They would do everything they can to stop you from building. Why? Because you hurt their feelings. But you trusted, and they obeyed, and they said, no, we will build our house to our God. We are not allowing you to help us. It would happen today. Turn with me now to the book of Numbers. After the house is built, let's go to Numbers 25. Very familiar story. Well, the church is built. Things are going good, but something happens. We got a problem we got to deal with. Numbers chapter 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in a small town, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So let's just say that they built it, but over process of time, they weakened, and they allowed ungodly people in. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every man, every one his man, that were joined unto Baal Peor. It's time to start killing people. Time to start killing people. Because they committed whoredom, served Moab, the Moabites, and if you remember in Deuteronomy 7 about the bastards, the Moabites and the Amorites are not to come into the congregation of the Lord. Well, they let them in. Now, look what happened. He told them a bastard and a Moabite and Ammonite are not welcome into the congregation in Deuteronomy 23. Same thing. But then someone took it upon themselves. Let's keep reading verse 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What were they weeping over? The slain. The people who served Baal. They're crying for them. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. He killed them. And those that died in the plague were 24,000 dead. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, now, what do you think God's reaction was to what they did in the Phinehas? He murdered two people. Let's see what God's response was. And Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Why? Because he was zealous for his God and made the atonement for the children of Israel. By killing people, he pleased God. And the name of the Midianite woman that was slain was Cosby, the daughter of Zur, and the head over the Midi, over, well, oh, I'm sorry, 14. And the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain in the Midianite woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, the prince of the chief of house among the Simeonites. He was true Israelite, from Simeon. And the name of the Midianite woman that was slain was Cosby. Now, some people will try to tell you, because they tried to tell me, well, this was not interracial marriage. This was a woman of a different faith. All right. either way, you're wrong. Because if your argument is true, well, this was just a woman, say she was a Buddhist woman, and an Israelite married a Buddhist woman, and she wanted to come and be converted and serve God. Okay, when Phinehas killed her, he denied her a chance to be converted. I don't care if you believe whether it was interracial or someone of another faith. Phinehas denied this woman a chance to convert and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God blessed him. Either argument, it still doesn't work. Because he told him, don't let these people in my house. Because if they do, you're going to stop serving me, and you're going to serve other gods, and your hearts will go away, and you won't obey me no more, because you don't trust me no more, you think you know more than I do, you think you know, you're so much smarter than me. And 24,000 people died. And God said, well done. And Phinehas took a javelin and thrust both of them. Now, imagine if God resurrected Phinehas today and sent him to the average denominational church, and he repeated this incident with the first interracial couple that came through the door. How many people in the church would say, praise God for Phinehas? Or would he be arrested and thrown in jail? And what would happen to him? And what did God do to him? He gave him a covenant of a priesthood because he was zealous for his God. Not in my house, not in my father's house, no. And he took action and God blessed him. That's why if we were to build a new church, I'm sorry, you can't help. We will build our church to our God. We can't let you in the door. And they tried to stop him. Nothing has changed. Turn with me now to show you some examples of good faith. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. A couple of familiar stories. Daniel chapter 3. And these are the three men in the fiery furnace. And we all know the story. This is one of my favorite stories. This is one of my favorite sayings. This is the trust and faith. This is the faith I want. We all know what was told, that the king Nebuchadnezzar made an idol, and everybody was told when you hear the harp, the cornet, the flute, when you hear the band playing, you're supposed to bow down and worship this god that I made. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not doing it. And he said, well, if you don't do it, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. And he got so angry, he turned it up seven times hotter. And we know that the guards who threw him in there, they died because of the heat. But right before that, I just want to read verse 17 and 18. Verse 17, he's talking to him. I'll give you guys one last chance. Well, let's go to 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't even have to talk it over. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. If he saves us, fine. If he doesn't save us, that's okay too. You know, God, please, I want that new promotion at work. I go to church all the time. I pay my tithing. I haven't missed a Sunday in years. Please. And Fred gets it. Oh, God, how could you do this to me? Really? Really? And you're sad? These guys, it's their life. Kill us. Go ahead. I'm not serving your God. I'm not bowing down to that golden thing you made. No. But they said, even if he doesn't save us, we're not going to deny our God. Whether if I get the promotion, if not, maybe I'll get it next time. Do I have the trust and faith of God that, Brian, I don't want you, that promotion isn't good for you. Jim, that promotion, that thing you wanted, I don't want you to have it because I know it won't help you. or Joe or anybody, I know you asked for it. I'm your father. I know what's best for you. Trust me. Trust me. I know what your needs are. Trust me. I will take care of you in my time. Trust me. And that's what these three men did. And then, if you will, drop down to go to verse 28. And we know what happened. They threw him in, and the king looked in, and we threw in three. I see four. And not one hair of their head, not one hair on their arm, nothing happened. And here's the king. Then, verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Nebuchadnezzar basically saw the light. Now, my question, why didn't Nebuchadnezzar, I want to serve your God too. No, he knew better. He knew who these guys were. He knew the God that they served. But he was so inspired. He's not an Israelite. He was so inspired by these men that he made a decree. Don't guys say anything. I still like, and I was a little boy, the movie The Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston, Yul Brynner. I loved that movie growing up. I really did. And now I watch it, and my favorite line in the movie is at the very end. Yul Brynner comes back, and the Queen Deborah Kerr, I think, King says, well, where's his blood? You know, you went to go get him, and blah, 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 blah. And he threw it down, and he sat in his chair, and he said, Moses' God is God. It's my favorite line in the movie now. Moses' God is God. Because he just saw his whole army wiped out in the Red Sea. And that, I love that. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. Hey, this God, he's real. He's powerful. Because if you say anything against him, what if their God wants to strike down our country, strike down our thing? What if the countries of around the world feared the God that we used to serve in America? We don't have that no more. They laugh at us because of all the stupid things we got in this ungodly country of ours. All these ungodly Baal temples all over the place. But what an example. What an example. Stay with me. Let's stay in Daniel. Go to chapter 6. And this is Daniel. And we all know this story. We all know about Daniel the lion's den. What happened? They were told not to pray. Or they were told that, you can't do this. And Daniel, he went ahead and prayed anyway. And then he did it right out in public. He didn't close his curtains. He was not ashamed. And he bent down to pray. And anyways, he was tricked. The king was tricked. And we know that these men, they tricked him into signing the decree. And if someone who disobeys this, they got to be thrown into the lion's den. But the king liked Daniel. He liked him, and he realized that he was tricked. And even when they took him and take him in there, the king said, Daniel, I trust that your God will deliver. Verse 20. Verse 16, I'm sorry. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Drop down to verse 20. And when he came to the den, this is the next day, the king been up all night, he couldn't sleep, he was worried. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel, you still with us? Daniel. And then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. That's how you responded. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So Daniel trusted, I'm going to keep praying. I'm not going to obey. I'm going to do what I've always done. Now, I remember this story from Sunday school. But I want to add, I'm going to continue because I want to read part of the story that they didn't tell us. Let's keep reading, verse 23. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces forever. They came at the bottom of the den. So I'm guessing they lowered him into it. Because they took him up out, and then they dropped him down. Now you think about this. Let's say I was one of the accusers. Let's say I was one of the ones who tricked him. And Daniel survived. All right? Brian, Susan, Laura, David, come here. Now, Laura's 19, David's 16. But let's say Laura's 10, David's 7. And they say, okay, Brian, you know, we're going to let you watch your family die. Come here, David. And they drop, and here's these lions, 800-pound lions growling. My question, what kind of screams will David make when those lions put their jaws around his throat and then they rip his arms off? And he's screaming. Okay, Laura, you're next. And they drop Laura, and she's screaming. And these lions devour. Okay, Susan, you're next. And they drop Laura, her, same thing. Okay, Brian. Now, I don't know how many there were, but they didn't tell me this one growing up. They kept this out of Sunday school. But these guys who deceived them, I got to watch my family be eaten alive by lions because that's what they wanted to do to Daniel. So what did our God do? What you guys tried to do to my servant, now it's going to happen to you. Bring back those days. Bring back those days. Remain faithful. He will. It's going to happen. We know in the end time, some of us may give our life for our faith. If it happens to me, if for some reason or there's some consequence down the road, if you ever find out that I died because of my faith, don't cry that I died. Praise God, I was strong. Praise my faith. Don't praise my death. Don't cry that I died. Cry that I lived, that I was strong. It's gonna happen. Jesus told us they will kill you thinking they're serving me. Some of you will have to give up the three men. Go ahead and kill us. I am not gonna serve Baal. I am not gonna bow down to a golden whatever he built. Daniel said, I am not gonna stop praying. We're gonna throw in the lions. Throw me in there. Now, maybe some of the Christians were eaten alive. I don't know. But we know the martyrs. There's many people who died for their faith. And if it ever happens to me, loved ones, don't cry. Praise God I was strong enough like these guys. And I survived. I lived it. And maybe it might happen to you. Pray for that strength. Oh, well, Daniel. Shadrach, look, God knows your heart. Just bow down. Don't worry. You guys are so fanatical. Where's your compassion? Just bow down. It's no big deal. It's just a golden image. God knows your heart. Yes, he does. Yes, he does know your heart. He knows you're a coward. He knows you're ashamed of him. He knows you don't trust him. He knows you won't obey him. He knows you want to be popular. That's what he knows. Yeah, he knows your heart. But he knew the heart of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He knew their heart. Turn with me now to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, another example. This is the Passover. And we know what was told. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses of Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the Passover. Now, we know what they were told to do. We won't read it. They were told to take a lamb. They were to kill it, take the blood, and put it on the doorpost, and put it on the mantle. And we know that they were going to do that. Verse 12. Now, God is speaking. Now, I know in the movie there was a dark cloud that came around this. You know, if you're the movie, the tent, we saw a black cloud coming. No. The Lord spoke unto Mary. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So he told him what to do. I want you to kill a lamb. I want you to put the blood on the door, cross the top, and when I see the blood, I will pass over. Okay, pretty simple. Okay, here comes the nagging wife. Honey, you're not going to put blood. I just cleaned those doors. You're not going to put, you know how that's going to smell in a couple hours? I'm not going to put blood on our door. Honey, I can't do that. My best friend at work is an Egyptian. And what, it'll hurt her feelings. I can't have you putting blood on our new front door. I just cleaned that last week. Besides, God knows our heart. We don't have to put blood. Really? Blood on a door? That's, no. Okay, now we got Mr. Arrogant Husband. Who the wife wants in the, oh, honey, I ain't got time for that. Hey, God knows our heart. Besides, my best friend at work, his kid is an Egyptian. And if I put that, it might offend them. So I, look, honey, just relax. Everything will be fine. Did they trust? Did they obey? No. I don't think God knows what he's talking about. What do you mean kill and put blood on the door? That's silly. That doesn't make sense to me. All right. Do you understand what happened? Every house in Egypt, something or someone had to die. Now, you can let the blood of a lamb die for you. You see it? If not, your firstborn's dead. Laura's dead. Now we got to plan her funeral because I didn't think it was that important to put blood on the door. My wife didn't. She tried to talk me into it, but I, yeah, honey, come on. God's not a God. God's a God of love. We don't have to do that. None of the other neighbors are doing it. But something or someone had to die. And if you didn't trust and you didn't let a lamb die, then death came to your family. Now, I wonder what kind of an argument those people got into after they had their funeral for their firstborn. I told you to listen. Well, you should have told. I don't know. This is in my own mind. But did they trust and did they obey? Yeah, the ones that did passed over. Because you know the story, get everything ready. This is going to be haste. We're about ready to go. Get everything packed up. Stay indoors. We're leaving soon. That's what we do at Passover. But the ones who didn't do it suffered. The lamb, the death of the lamb saved them. The death of the lamb saved them. The death of the lamb, our lamb. Who's our lamb? Who died for us so that we don't have to? We have to die once. But we don't die twice. If that lamb died for you, you won't die. If the lamb didn't die, if you didn't sacrifice a lamb, you got a funeral to go to because you didn't trust and you didn't obey. Turn with me now to the book of 2 Peter just to show you. Well, that was back then. Things have changed. No. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled thereof and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than in the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the unholy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her waller and in the mire. You're better off to not know. If you know truth, and then you don't do it, or you do it for a little while, and then you go back, you're worse off. He told them what to do with that blood, and they didn't do it. Or he told them how to do certain things, and they didn't do it. It's worse to find truth and reject it than to be blinded all of your life. And it's not good to be blinded. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you reject knowledge, I will reject you, Hosea 4:6. There's no blessing in being ignorant. I've heard that. Well, you know, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there, but I love God, I love Jesus, and I love this, and I love that, and everything will be fine. And they don't know, they don't care, they don't... Okay, don't waste any more time with these people. I care more about their self than they do, and you ain't going to change them. But to know, to learn truth and walk away, you're worse off. You're worse off. Go with me, Tom, go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12. Go back a little bit. And this is a promise. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then shall ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, and consider how great things he hath done unto you. But if you shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. He's not going to forsake us. He will always, he remembers who we are. He knows the trials you're going through. He knows it's hard. He knows it's difficult. But if you trust in him and you keep obeying him and you do what he asks you to do, you'll be fine. He will not forsake you. He will never forsake you. Turn to the book of Isaiah to show that chapter 50. And I just want to read verse 10. Isaiah 50, chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. There's my sermon, trust and obey. If you trust him, you'll obey him. The more you trust him, the more you will obey. The easier it will be to obey him. And you must do it all the days of your life. Just trust him, know him, get to understand him, believe it, and he will succeed. Turn with me now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Go forward. Good. Well, that was in the Old Testament. Okay. All right. Another thing, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. There are people that God who care about your souls. Our pastors, teachers, elders, they will obey you. They will try to, it can be people that rule over your parents, elders, pastors at your church. They have rule over you, and they care about your soul. And they ask us to be obedient to them. Let's stay in 13. Let's go ahead and read verse 20, 21. Very familiar. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work and do his will, working in that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It hasn't changed. The new covenants are still there. And as a matter of fact, if you will turn to me to the book of 1 Timothy, it tells something about the elders. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. There are people who are trying to teach you God's word and teach you his doctrine. And we're to obey them and try to submit to them because they watch out for our souls. They have to feed your soul. That's what Samuel tried to do with Saul. He tried to tell him God's word. And over and over and over again, many, many great men of God have tried to tell their people, this is what the Lord told us. And if you have a gift of preaching, teaching, exhortation, and you know that and you honor that, then you honor them who have who are trying to help guide you and show you God's word. Now, it's easy. Now, they have to honor their office. They have to be accounted honorable for the position that they have. You must be a humble servant. Must be very humble. But try to learn and speak to people who are not maybe not only elders, but who are older than us, who are trying to help us younger folks get through certain times. Because here's a problem. Go to the Philippians chapter 2. Here's why. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. This is what could happen in the church. For if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Okay, now why? Well, this came up a little bit at supper last night at La Rosa's with Andrew. We know that there is mental health and physical health. And we know there are people who suffer from low self-esteem. And then there are people, the other spectrum, people who are loaded with self-esteem. They have high self-esteem. They think they're better than everybody. And unfortunately, the kids today are loaded with it. That's what they're taught. Don't be the nail, be the hammer. Heard a lady tell that to her kid. He's going to go play soccer. Remember, son, be the hammer, don't be the nail. But here's the problem. If you suffer from low self-esteem, or you have too much and you're one of those arrogant, self-righteous, the man who went in the temple who had so much. The problem is you both suffer from the same thing. And in my opinion, the problem is all you think about is you. If you have low self-esteem, you just think about you too much. If you have high self-esteem, you think about you too much. We're supposed to esteem others. If you did that, your low self-esteem would go away. Your high self-esteem would go away. Because that's a humble servant. Now, this is just my opinion. But we have to acknowledge that there is mental health issues with people from time to time. But if we esteem others, if we try to help out others, it will benefit us because we take it off of ourselves. And I think that maybe that would help people come out of that. Just a couple more. One more example. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. And I just want to make one last point. We all know that God called Moses. Came to the burning bush. Moses, we know that he killed an Egyptian. He went out with Jethro and his flock. And then here God's going to call him. Moses, I got a job for you. Exodus chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, because Moses, God called him and told him what he wanted to do. Here's Moses' response. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereunto nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, for I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. I'm guessing Moses, I don't talk too well. And here's God's answer. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seen or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. If God comes to you and says, I want you to do something, let me say, Moses, who do you think made your mouth? I know you don't talk too well. I know that. You're not telling. I made your mouth. You're not telling. Don't be afraid to do if God asks you to cause you to do something. Well, I got to do this. No. I'll tell you what to do. I will let you know. And I think we would agree Moses went on to do many, many great things. And Moses is probably one of the top 10 men of the Bible. And then Moses died. And you can imagine, we know who took Moses' spot, Joshua. Last reading, go to Joshua chapter 3. I want to show you something, and I want to make a point. Moses did he came over this, he led the children out of Israel, and he did all these wonderful things. And now Joshua is going to take over. And I just want to show you in chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Last time we were here at Passover, we said goodbye to Pastor Mark. And we know that was hard for all of us, but we have to move forward. Okay? This is just Brian's opinion. Pastor Don needs help. And I see that Jim has come up to help. Joe has come up to help. I want to say this from the heart. Jim, Joe, just as God was with Mark, he will be with you. Okay? He will be with you. And someday Pastor Don might not be with us. And somebody will have to come here. Just as God was with Pastor Don, he will be with whoever comes next. Yes, we miss him. But Joe, Jim, and whoever else, he'll be with you like he was with Mark. Who taught this 100 years ago? None of us were born. But every night God calls people. Said, I need you to help out. I need you to help out. I don't forget. Many, many, many years ago, Alan Engel asked me, Brian, would you mind speaking? Oh, I don't. I said no 3 or 4 times. Finally, he said, Brian, I need a week off. I'm tired. I need some help. And he said, do it as a favor to me. Okay. Scared to death. That was 13, 15 years ago. Don't know if I'm any good at this or not, but it helped him. And that's how he got me to do it. That's why I agreed to do it, because he needed some time off. Don needs help. He'll be with you. He was with Mark. He'll be with you. He will always be with us. And loved ones, just remember, we need to trust him. We need to obey him. And the more you trust him, the easier it will be to obey him. We've seen many stories today. It doesn't change. We got the same problems. We're going to go through some stuff. We're all going to have to go through it. But pray that you have the faith of the three men, or Daniel, or any of the stories we read today. And just trust him and obey him. And he will never forsake you. Okay? Thank you. May the God of our fathers bless each and every one of you.